Dramatis Personae of Richard III. This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information, or to volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org. Richard III by William Shakespeare. Dramatis Personae.
King Edward IV, read by David Cole.
Edward, Prince of Wales, read by Sandra.
Richard, Duke of York, read by Tricia G.
George, Duke of Clarence, read by Bob Sherman.
Richard, Duke of Gloucester, read by David Nicol.
Son of Clarence,
read by Nadine Cartbray.
Henry, Earl of Richmond, played by Mark Smith of Simpsonville, South Carolina.
Cardinal Bourchier, read by Nolifidion.
Archbishop of York, read by Avaí.
Bishop of Ely, voiced by Robert Smith.
The Duke of Buckingham, read by M.B.
The Duke of Norfolk, read by Bruce Perry.
Earl of Surrey, read by Lucy Perry.
Earl Rivers, read by Denny Sayers.
Marquis of Dorset, read by Stephen Carney.
Lord Grey, read by O123.
Oxford, read by Roger Clifton.
Lord Hastings, read by Peter Bloomfield.
Lord Stanley, read by Andy Minter.
Lord Lovell, read by L. Lambert Lawson.
Sir Thomas Vaughan, read by David Lawrence.
Sir Richard Ratcliffe, read by Filippo Joaquin.
Sir William Catesby, read by Sahar Eisenstein Bond.
Sir James Tyrrell, read by Wonnevo Mofo.
Sir James Blunt, read by Nolifidion.
Sir Walter Herbert, read by L. Lambert Lawson.
Sir Robert Brackenbury, read by Garrett Fitzgerald.
Christopher Urswick, read by Christopher Curran.
Priest, read by David Lawrence.
The Lord Mayor of London, played by Mark Smith.
Sheriff of Wiltshire, voiced by Robert Smith.
Queen Elizabeth, read by Elizabeth Klett.
Queen Margaret, read by Ruth Golding.
The Duchess of York, read by Karen Savage.
Lady Anne, read by Ariel Lipshaw.
Daughter of Clarence, read by Avaí.
First Gentleman, read by David Lawrence.
Pursuivant, read by Matt Judd.
A Scrivener, read by Elizabeth Klett.
First Citizen, read by Zonya.
Second Citizen, read by Stephen Carney.
Third Citizen, read by Wonnevo Mofo.
First Murderer, voiced by Robert Smith.
Second Murderer, read by Zonya.
Messenger, read by Kalinda.
Second Messenger, read by Veronica Jenkins.
Third Messenger, read by Zonya.
Fourth Messenger, read by Roger Clifton.
Ghost of Prince Edward, read by Snae Faxe.
Ghost of Henry VI, read by Wonnevo Mofo.
Narrated by Diana Meilinger.
End of Dramatis Personae.
Act One of Richard III by William Shakespeare. This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information, or to volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org. Act One, Scene One, London, a street. Enter Gloucester.
Now is the winter of our discontent, made glorious summer by this son of York, and all the clouds that loured upon our house in the deep bosom of the ocean buried. Now are our brows bound with victorious wreaths, our bruised arms hung up for monuments, our stern alarums changed to merry meetings, our dreadful marches to delightful measures. Grim-visaged war hath smoothed his wrinkled front, and now, instead of mounting barbed steeds to fright the souls of fearful adversaries, he capers nimbly in a lady's chamber to the lascivious pleasing of a lute. But I, that am not shaped for sportive tricks, nor made to court an amorous looking-glass. I, that am rudely stamped, and want love's majesty to strut before a wanton ambling nymph. I, that am curtailed of this fair proportion, cheated of feature by dissembling nature, deformed, unfinished, sent before my time into this breathing world scarce half made up, and that so lamely and unfashionable that dogs bark at me as I halt by them, why I, in this weak piping time of peace, have no delight to pass away the time, unless to spy my shadow in the sun and descant on mine own deformity. And therefore, since I cannot prove a lover to entertain these farewell-spoken days, I am determined to prove a villain, and hate the idle pleasures of these days. Plots have I laid, inductions dangerous, by drunken prophecies, libels, and dreams, to set my brother Clarence and the king in deadly hate, the one against the other. And if King Edward be as true and just as I am subtle, false, and treacherous, this day should Clarence closely be mewed up about a prophecy which says that G of Edward's heirs the murderer shall be. Dive thoughts down to my soul. Here Clarence comes.
Enter Clarence, guarded, and Brackenbury.
Brother, good day. What means this armed guard that waits upon your grace?
His Majesty, tendering my person's safety, hath appointed this conduct to convey me to the Tower.
Upon what cause?
Because my name is George.
Alack, my lord, that fault is none of yours. He should for that commit your godfathers. Oh, belike His Majesty hath some intent that you should be new christened in the Tower. But what's the matter, Clarence? May I know?
Yea, Richard, when I know, for I protest as yet I do not. But as I can learn, he hearkens after prophecies and dreams, and from the cross-row plucks the letter G, and says a wizard told him that by G his issue disinherited should be. And for my name of George begins with G, it follows in his thought that I am he. These, as I learn, and such like toys as these, hath moved His Highness to commit me now.
Why, this it is when men are ruled by women. 'Tis not the king that sends you to the Tower. My Lady Grey, his wife, Clarence, 'tis she that tempers him to this extremity. Was it not she and that good man of worship, Antony Woodville, her brother there, that made him send Lord Hastings to the Tower, from whence this present day he is delivered? We are not safe, Clarence. We are not safe.
By heaven, I think there is no man is secure but the Queen's kindred and night-walking heralds that trudge betwixt the king and Mistress Shore. Heard you not what an humble suppliant Lord Hastings was to her for his delivery?
Humbly complaining to her deity got my Lord Chamberlain his liberty. I'll tell you what. I think it is our way, if we will keep in favour with the king, to be her men and wear her livery. The jealous, o'erworn widow and herself, since that our brother dubbed them gentlewomen, are mighty gossips in our monarchy.
I beseech your graces both to pardon me. His Majesty hath straitly given in charge that no man shall have private conference of what degree soever with your brother.
Even so, and please your worship, Brackenbury, you may partake of anything we say. We speak no treason, man. We say, the king is wise and virtuous, and his noble queen well struck in years fair and not jealous. We say that Shore's wife hath a pretty foot, a cherry lip, a bonny eye, a passing pleasing tongue, and that the queen's kindred are made gentlefolks. How say you, sir? Can you deny all this?
With this, my lord, myself have naught to do.
Naught to do with Mistress Shore? I tell thee, fellow, he that doth naught with her, excepting one, were best to do it secretly, alone.
What one, my lord?
Her husband, knave! Wouldst thou betray me?
I do beseech your grace to pardon me, and withal, forbear your conference with the noble duke.
We know thy charge, Brackenbury, and will obey.
We are the Queen's abjects, and must obey. Brother, farewell. I will unto the King, and whatsoe'er you will employ me in, were it to call King Edward's widow sister, I will perform it to enfranchise you. Meantime, this deep disgrace in brotherhood touches me deeper than you can imagine.
I know it pleaseth neither of us well.
Well, your imprisonment shall not be long. I will deliver or else lie for you. Meantime, have patience.
I must perforce. Farewell.
Exeunt Clarence, Brackenbury, and guard.
Go, tread the path that thou shalt ne'er return. Simple, plain Clarence, I do love thee so, that I will shortly send thy soul to heaven, if heaven will take the present at our hands. But who comes here? The new delivered Hastings.
Enter Hastings.
A good time of day unto my gracious lord.
As much unto my good lord Chamberlain. Well are you welcome to the open air. How hath your lordship brooked imprisonment?
With patience, noble lord, as prisoners must. But I shall live, my lord, to give them thanks that were the cause of my imprisonment.
No doubt, no doubt, and so shall Clarence too, for they that were your enemies are his, and have prevailed as much on him as you.
More pity that the eagles should be mewed, whilst kites and buzzards prey at liberty.
What news abroad?
No news so bad abroad as this at home. The king is sickly, weak, and melancholy, and his physicians fear him mightily.
Now, by St. Paul, that news is bad indeed. Oh, he hath kept an evil diet long, and overmuch consumed his royal person. 'Tis very grievous to be thought upon. What, is he in his bed?
He is.
Go you before, and I will follow you.
Exit Hastings.
He cannot live, I hope, and must not die till George be packed with post-horse up to heaven. I'll in, to urge his hatred more to Clarence with lies well steeled with weighty arguments, and if I fail not in my deep intent, Clarence hath not another day to live, which done, God take King Edward to his mercy, and leave the world for me to bustle in. For then, I'll marry Warwick's youngest daughter. What though I killed her husband and her father? The readiest way to make the wench amends is to become her husband and her father, the which will I. Not all so much for love as for another secret close intent by marrying her which I must reach unto. But yet I run before my horse to market. Clarence still breathes, Edward still lives and reigns. When they are gone, then must I count my gains.
Exit. Scene 2. London. Another street. Enter the corpse of King Henry the Sixth, borne in an open coffin, gentlemen bearing halberds to guard it, and Lady Anne as mourner.
Set down. Set down your honourable load. If honour may be shrouded in a hearse, whilst I awhile obsequiously lament the untimely fall of virtuous Lancaster, poor key-cold figure of a holy king, pale ashes of the house of Lancaster, thou bloodless remnant of that royal blood, be it lawful that I invocate thy ghost to hear the lamentations of poor Anne, wife to thy Edward, to thy slaughtered son, stabbed by the self-same hand that made these wounds. Lo, in these windows that let forth thy life, I pour the helpless balm of my poor eyes. O, cursed be the hand that made these holes! Cursed the heart that had the heart to do it! Cursed the blood that let this blood from hence! More direful hap betide that hated wretch that makes us wretched by the death of thee than I can wish to adders, spiders, toads, or any creeping venom thing that lives. If ever he have child, abortive be it, prodigious and untimely brought to light, whose ugly and unnatural aspect may fright the hopeful mother at the view, and that be heir to his unhappiness. If ever he have wife, let her be made more miserable by the death of him than I am made by my young lord and thee. Come now, towards Chertsey with your holy load, taken from Paul's to be interred there, and still as you are weary of this wait, rest you, whilst I lament King Henry's course.
The bearers take up the corpse and advance. Enter Gloucester.
Stay, you that bear the corpse, and set it down.
What black magician conjures up this fiend to stop devoted charitable deeds?
Villains, set down the corpse, or by Saint Paul I'll make a corpse of him that disobeys.
My lord, stand back and let the coffin pass.
Unmannered dog! Stand thou when I command! Advance thy halberd higher than my breast, or by Saint Paul I'll strike thee to my foot and spurn upon thee, beggar, for thy boldness.
The bearer set down the coffin.
What do you tremble? Are you all afraid? Alas, I blame you not, for you are mortal, and mortal eyes cannot endure the devil. Avaunt, thou dreadful minister of hell! Thou hadst but power over his mortal body. His soul thou canst not have, therefore be gone.
Sweet saint, for charity be not so cursed.
Foul devil! For God's sake, hence, and trouble us not, for thou hast made the happy earth thy hell, filled it with cursing cries and deep exclaims. If thou delight to view thy heinous deeds, behold this pattern of thy butcheries. O gentlemen, see, see, dead Henry's wounds open their congealed mouths and bleed afresh. Blush. Blush, thou lump of foul deformity, for 'tis thy presence that exhales this blood from cold and empty veins where no blood dwells. Thy deeds, inhuman and unnatural, provokes this deluge most unnatural. O God, which this blood mat'st, revenge his death! O earth, which this blood drink'st, revenge his death! Either heaven with lightning strike the murderer dead, or earth gape open wide and eat him quick, as thou dost swallow up this good king's blood, which his hell-governed arm hath butchered.
Lady, you know no rules of charity, which renders good for bad, blessings for curses.
Villain, thou know'st no law of God nor man, no beast so fierce but knows some touch of pity.
But I know none, and therefore am no beast.
Oh, wonderful, when devils tell the truth.
More wonderful when angels are so angry. Vouchsafe, divine perfection of a woman, of these supposed crimes to give me leave by circumstance but to acquit myself.
Vouchsafe, diffused infection of a man, of these known evils but to give me leave by circumstance to accuse thy cursed self.
Fairer than tongue can name thee, let me have some patient leisure to excuse myself.
Fouler than heart can think thee, thou canst make no excuse current but to hang thyself.
By such despair I should accuse myself.
And by despairing shalt thou stand excused, for doing worthy vengeance on thyself that didst unworthy slaughter upon others.
Say that I slew them not.
Then say they were not slain, but dead they are, and devilish slave by thee.
I did not kill your husband.
Why, then he is alive.
Nay, he is dead, and slain by Edward's hand.
In thy foul throat thou liest. Queen Margaret saw thy murderous falchion smoking in his blood, the which thou once didst bend against her breast, but that thy brothers beat aside the point.
I was provoked by her slanderous tongue that laid their guilt upon my guiltless shoulders.
Thou wast provoked by thy bloody mind, that never dreamt on aught but butcheries. Didst thou not kill this king?
I grant ye.
Dost grant me, hedgehog? Then God grant me too, thou mayst be damned for that wicked deed. Oh, he was gentle, mild, and virtuous.
The better for the king of heaven that hath him.
He is in heaven where thou shalt never come.
Let him thank me that holp to send him thither, for he was fitter for that place than earth.
And thou unfit for any place but hell.
Yes, one place else, if you will hear me name it.
Some dungeon.
Your bedchamber?
Ill rest betide the chamber where thou liest.
So will it, madam, till I lie with you.
I hope so.
I know so. But gentle Lady Anne, to leave this keen encounter of our wits and fall something into a slower method, is not the causer of the timeless deaths of these Plantagenets, Henry and Edward, as blameful as the executioner?
Thou wast the cause and most accursed effect.
Your beauty was the cause of that effect. Your beauty, that did haunt me in my sleep to undertake the death of all the world, so I might live 1 hour in your sweet bosom.
If I thought that, I tell thee, homicide, these nails should rend that beauty from my cheeks.
These eyes could not endure that beauty's wreck. You should not blemish if I stood by. As all the world is cheered by the sun, so I by that. It is my day, my life.
Black night or shade thy day, and death thy life.
Curse not thyself, fair creature, thou art both.
I would I were to be revenged on thee.
It is a quarrel most unnatural, to be revenged on him that loveth thee.
It is a quarrel just and reasonable to be revenged on him that killed my husband.
He that bereft thee, lady, of thy husband, did it to help thee to a better husband.
His better doth not breathe upon the earth.
He lives that loves thee better than he could.
Name him.
Plantagenet.
Why, that was he.
The selfsame name, but one of better nature.
Where is he?
Here. Why dost thou spit at me?
Would it were mortal poison for thy sake.
Never came poison from so sweet a place.
Never hung poison on a fouler toad. Out of my sight thou dost infect mine eyes.
Thine eyes, sweet lady, have infected mine.
Would they were basilisks to strike thee dead.
I would they were, that I might die at once, for now they kill me with a living death. Those eyes of thine from mine have drawn salt tears, shamed their aspects with store of childish drops. These eyes, which never shed remorseful tear, no, when my father York and Edward wept to hear the piteous moan that Rutland made when black-faced Clifford shook his sword at him, nor when thy warlike father, like a child, told the sad story of my father's death, and 20 times made pause to sob and weep that all the standers-by had wet their cheeks like trees bedashed with rain. In that sad time, my manly eyes did scorn an humble tear. And what these sorrows could not thence exhale, thy beauty have, and made them blind with weeping. I never sued to friend nor enemy. My tongue could never learn sweet smoothing word. But now thy beauty is proposed my fee, my proud heart sues, and prompts my tongue to speak.
She looks scornfully at him.
Teach not thy lips such scorn, for it was made for kissing, lady, not for such contempt. If thy revengeful heart cannot forgive, lo, I lend thee this sharp-pointed sword, which, if thou please to hide in this true breast, and let the soul forth that adoreth thee, I lay it, naked to the deadly stroke, and humbly beg the death upon my knee. Nay, do not pause, for I did kill King Henry.
He lays his breast open. She offers at it with his sword.
But 'twas thy beauty that provoked me. Nay, now dispatch, 'twas I that stabbed young Edward.
She again offers at his breast.
But 'twas thy heavenly face that set me on.
She lets fall the sword.
Take up the sword again, or take up me.
Arise, dissembler. Though I wish thy death, I will not be thy executioner.
Then bid me kill myself, and I will do it.
I have already.
That was in thy rage. Speak it again, and even with the word, this hand, which for thy love did kill thy love, shall for thy love kill a far truer love. To both their deaths shalt thou be accessory.
I would I knew thy heart.
'Tis figured in my tongue.
I fear me both are false.
Then never was man true.
Well, put up your sword.
See then my peace is made.
That shalt thou know hereafter.
But shall I live in hope?
All men, I hope, live so.
Vouchsafe to wear this ring.
To take is not to give.
She puts on the ring.
Look how this ring encompasseth thy finger. Even so thy breast encloseth my poor heart. Wear both of them, for both of them are thine. And if thy poor devoted servant may but beg one favour at thy gracious hand, thou dost confirm his happiness for ever.
What is it?
That it may please you, leave these sad designs to him that has most cause to be a mourner, and presently repair to Crosby Place, where, after I have solemnly interred at Chertsey Monastery this noble king, and wet his grave with my repentant tears, I will, with all expedient duty, see you. For divers unknown reasons, I beseech you, grant me this boon.
With all my heart, and much it joys me too to see you are become so penitent. Tressel and Berkeley, go along with me.
Bid me farewell?
'Tis more than you deserve. But since you teach me how to flatter you, imagine I have said farewell already.
Exeunt Lady Anne, Tress, and Burke.
Sirs, take up the corpse.
Toward Chertsey, noble lord?
No, to Whitefriars. There attend my coming.
Exeunt the rest with the corpse.
Was ever woman in this humour wooed? Was ever woman in this humour won? I'll have her! But I will not keep her long. What? I that killed her husband and his father? To take her in her heart's extremest hate, with curses in her mouth, tears in her eyes, the bleeding witness of her hatred by? Having got her conscience and these bars against me? And I no friends to back my suit withal, but the plain devil and dissembling looks, and yet to win her? All the world to nothing! Ha! Hath she forgot already that brave Prince Edward, her lord, whom I some 3 months since stabbed in my angry mood at Tewkesbury? A sweeter and a lovelier gentleman, framed in the prodigality of nature, young, valiant, wise, and no doubt right royal, the spacious world cannot again afford. And will she yet abase her eyes on me, that cropped the golden prime of this sweet prince, and made her widow to a woeful bed? On me, whose all not equals Edward's moiety? On me, that halt and am misshapen thus? My dukedom to a beggarly denier, I do mistake my person all this while. Upon my life, she finds, although I cannot, myself to be a marvellous proper man. Albeit charges for a looking-glass, and entertain a score or two of tailors to study fashions to adorn my body. Since I am crept in favour with myself, I will maintain it with some little cost. But first, I'll turn yon fellow in his grave, and then return lamenting to my love. Shine out, fair sun, till I have brought a glass, that I may see my shadow as I pass.
Exit. Scene 3. London. A room in the palace. Enter Queen Elizabeth, Lord Rivers, and Lord Grey.
Have patience, madam. There's no doubt his majesty will soon recover his accustomed health.
In that you brook it ill, it makes him worse. Therefore, for God's sake, entertain good comfort, and cheer his grace with quick and merry eyes.
If he were dead, what would betide on me?
No other harm but loss of such a lord.
The loss of such a lord includes all harms.
The heavens have blessed you with a goodly son, to be your comforter when he is gone.
Ah, he is young, and his minority is put into the trust of Richard Gloucester, a man that loves not me, nor none of you.
Is it concluded he shall be protector?
It is determined, not concluded yet. But so it must be if the king miscarry.
Enter Buckingham and Stanley.
Here come the lords of Buckingham and Stanley.
Good time of day unto your royal grace.
God make your majesty joyful as you have been.
The Countess Richmond, good my lord of Stanley, to your good prayer will scarcely say amen. Yet, Stanley, notwithstanding she's your wife, and loves not me, be you, good lord, assured I hate not you for her proud arrogance.
I do beseech you either not believe the envious slanders of her false accusers, or if she be accused on true report, bear with her weakness, which I think proceeds from wayward sickness and no grounded malice.
Saw you the king to-day, my lord of Stanley?
But now the Duke of Buckingham and I are come from visiting his majesty.
What likelihood of his amendment, lords?
Madam, good hope. His Grace speaks cheerfully.
God grant him health. Did you confer with him?
Aye, madam. He desires to make atonement between the Duke of Gloucester and your brothers, and between them and my Lord Chamberlain, and sent to warn them to his royal presence.
Would all were well, but that will never be. I fear our happiness is at the height.
Enter Gloucester, Hastings, and Dorset.
They do me wrong, and I will not endure it. Who are they that complain unto the king that I, forsooth, am stern, and love them not? By holy Paul, they love his grace but lightly that fill his ears with such dissentious rumours. Because I cannot flatter, and look fair, smile in men's faces, smooth, deceive, and cog, duck with French nods and apish courtesy, I must be held a rancorous enemy. Cannot a plain man live and think no harm, but thus his simple truth must be abused with silken, sly, insinuating jacks?
To who in all this presence speaks your grace?
To thee that hath nor honesty nor grace! When have I injured thee? When done thee wrong? Or thee, or any of your faction? A plague upon you all! His royal grace, whom God preserve better than you would wish, cannot be quiet scarce a breathing while, but you must trouble him with lewd complaints.
Brother of Gloucester, you mistake the matter. The king, on his own royal disposition, and not provoked by any suitor else, aiming belike at your interior hatred, that in your outward action shows itself against my children, brothers, and myself, makes him to send, that thereby he may gather the ground of your ill will, and so remove it.
I cannot tell. The world is grown so bad that wrens make prey where eagles dare not perch. Since every jack became a gentleman, there's many a gentle person made a jack.
Come, come, we know your meaning, Brother Gloucester. You envy my advancement and my friends. God grant we never may have need of you.
Meantime, God grants that we have need of you. Our brother is imprisoned by your means, myself disgraced, and the nobility held in contempt, while great promotions are daily given to ennoble those that scarce some 2 days since were worth ennoble.
By him that raised me to this careful height, from that contented hap which I enjoyed, I never did incense his majesty against the Duke of Clarence, but have been an earnest advocate to plead for him. My lord, you do me shameful injury falsely to draw me in these vile suspects.
You may deny that you were not the mean of my Lord Hastings' late imprisonment.
She may, my lord, for—
She may, Lord Rivers. Why, who knows not so? She may do more, sir, than denying that. She may help you to many fair preferments, and then deny her aiding hand therein, and lay those honours on your high desert. What, may she not? She may. Aye, marry, may she—
What? Marry, may she?
What marry, may she? Marry with a king, a bachelor, and a handsome stripling, too. I wish your grandam had a worser match.
My lord of Gloucester, I have too long borne your blunt upbraidings and your bitter scoffs. By heaven, I will acquaint his majesty of those gross taunts that oft I have endured. I had rather be a country servant-maid than a great queen with this condition, to be so baited, scorned, and stormed at.
Enter old Queen Margaret, behind.
Small joy have I in being England's queen.
And lessened be that small, God, I beseech him. Thy honour, state, and seat is due to me.
What? Threat you me with telling of the king? Tell him and spare not. Look, what I have said, I will avouch in presence of the king. I dare adventure to be sent to the Tower. 'Tis time to speak. My pains are quite forgot.
Out, devil. I do remember them too well. Thou killedst my husband Henry in the Tower, and Edward, my poor son, at Tewkesbury.
Ere you were queen, I, or your husband king, I was a pack-horse in his great affairs, a weeder-out of his proud adversaries, a liberal rewarder of his friends. To royalize his blood, I spilt mine own.
Aye, and much better blood than his or thine.
In all which time you and your husband Grey were factious for the House of Lancaster. And Rivers, so were you. Was not your husband in Margaret's battle at St. Albans slain? Let me put in your minds, if you forget, what you have been ere this and what you are, withal what I have been and what I am.
A murderous villain, and so still thou art.
Poor Clarence did forsake his father Warwick, ay, and forswore himself, which Jesu pardon.
Which God revenge.
To fight on Edward's party for the crown, and for his meed, poor lord, he is mewed up. I would to God my heart were flint like Edward's, or Edward's soft and pitiful like mine. I am too childish foolish for this world.
Hie thee to hell for shame, and leave this world, thou cacodemon. There thy kingdom is.
My lord of Gloucester, in those busy days, which here you urge to prove us enemies, we followed then our lord, our sovereign king. So should we you, if you should be our king.
If I should be? Oh, I'd rather be a peddler. Far be it from my heart the thought thereof.
As little joy, my lord, as you suppose you should enjoy, were you this country's king, as little joy you may suppose in me that I enjoy being the queen thereof.
As little joy enjoys the queen thereof. For I am she, and altogether joyless. I can no longer hold me patient.
Advancing.
Hear me, you wrangling pirates, that fall out in sharing that which you have pilled from me. Which of you trembles not that looks on me? If not that I am queen, you bow like subjects, yet that by you deposed you quake like rebels. Ah, gentle villain, do not turn away.
Foul, wrinkled witch, what makest thou in my sight?
But repetition of what thou hast marred, that will I make before I let thee go.
Wert thou not banished on pain of death?
I was, but I do find more pain in banishment than death can yield me here by my abode. A husband and a son thou owest to me. And thou a kingdom, all of you allegiance. This sorrow that I have by right is yours, and all the pleasures you usurp are mine.
The curse my noble father laid on thee when thou didst crown his warlike brows with paper, and with thy scorns drewst rivers from his eyes, and then to dry them gav'st the duke a clout steeped in the faultless blood of pretty Rutland. His curses, then, from bitterness of soul denounced against thee, are all fallen upon thee, and God, not we, hath plagued thy bloody deed.
So just is God to right the innocent.
Oh, 'twas the foulest deed to slay that babe, and the most merciless that e'er was heard of.
Tyrants themselves wept when it was reported.
No man hath prophesied revenge for it.
Northumberland then present wept to see it.
What, were you snarling all before I came? Ready to catch each other by the throat and turn you all your hatred now on me? Did York's dread curse prevail so much with heaven that Henry's death, my lovely Edward's death, their kingdom's loss, my woeful banishment, should all but answer for that peevish brat? Can curses pierce the clouds and enter heaven? Why, then, give way, dull clouds, to my quick curses. Though not by war, by surfeit die your king, as ours by murder to make him a king. Edward, thy son that now is Prince of Wales, for Edward, our son that was Prince of Wales, die in his youth by like untimely violence. Thyself a queen, for me that was a queen, outlive thy glory, like my wretched self. Long mayest thou live to wail thy children's death, and see another, as I see thee now, decked in thy rights, as thou art stalled in mine. Long die thy happy days before thy death, and after many lengthened hours of grief, die neither mother, wife, nor England's queen. Rivers and Dorset, you were standers by. And so wast thou, Lord Hastings, when my son was stabbed with bloody daggers. God, I pray him that none of you may live his natural age, but by some unlooked accident cut off.
Have done thy charm, thou hateful withered hag.
And leave out thee. Stay, dog, for thou shalt hear me. If heaven have any grievous plague in store, exceeding those that I can wish upon thee, oh, let them keep it till thy sins be ripe, and then hurl down their indignation on thee, the troubler of the poor world's peace. The worm of conscience still benaw thy soul. Thy friends suspect for traitors while thou livest, and take deep traitors for thy dearest friends. No sleep close up that deadly eye of thine, unless it be while some tormenting dream affrights thee with a hell of ugly devils. Thou elvish-marked, abortive, rooting hog, thou that wast sealed in thy nativity, the slave of nature and the son of hell, thou slander of thy heavy mother's womb, thou loathed issue of thy father's loins, thou rag of honour, thou detested—
Margaret.
Richard.
Ha!
I call thee not.
I cry thee mercy, then, for I did think thou hadst called me all these bitter names.
Why, so I did, but looked for no reply. Oh, let me make the period to my curse.
'Tis done by me, and ends in Margaret.
Thus have you breathed your curse against yourself.
Poor painted queen, vain flourish of my fortune. Why strewst thou sugar on that bottled spider, whose deadly web ensnareth thee about? Fool, fool, thou whetst a knife to kill thyself. The day will come that thou shalt wish for me to help thee curse this poisonous bunch-backed toad.
False-boding woman, end thy frantic curse, lest to thy harm thou move our patience.
Foul shame upon you! You have all moved mine.
Were you well served, you would be taught your duty.
To serve me well, you all should do me duty. Teach me to be your queen, and you my subjects. Oh, serve me well, and teach yourselves that duty.
Dispute not with her. She is a lunatic.
Peace, Master Marquis. You are malapert. Your fire new stamp of honour is scarce current. Oh, that your young nobility could judge what 'twere to lose it and be miserable. They that stand high have many blasts to shake them, and if they fall they dash themselves to pieces.
Good counsel, Mary. Learn it, Marquis.
It touches you, my lord, as much as me.
Aye, and much more. But I was born so high, our Aerie buildeth in the cedar's top, and dallies with the wind, and scorns the sun.
And turns the sun to shade, alas, alas. Witness my son now in the shade of death, whose bright outshining beams thy cloudy wrath hath in eternal darkness folded up. Your eyrie buildeth in our eyrie's nest. O God that seized it, do not suffer it. As it is one with blood, lost be it so.
Peace, peace, for shame, if not for charity.
Urge neither charity nor shame to me. Uncharitably with me have you dealt. and shamefully my hopes, but you are butchered. My charity is outrage, life my shame. And in that shame still live my sorrow's rage.
Have done, have done.
O princely Buckingham, I'll kiss thy hand in sign of league and amity with thee. Now fair befall thee and thy noble house. Thy garments are not spotted with our blood, nor thou within the compass of my curse.
Nor no one here, for curses never pass the lips of those that breathe them in the air.
I will not think but they ascend the sky, and there awake God's gentle sleeping peace. O Buckingham, take heed of yonder dog. Look, when he fawns, he bites, and when he bites, his venom tooth will rankle to the death. Have not to do with him, beware of him. Sin, death, and hell have set their marks on him, and all their ministers attend on him.
What does she say, my lord of Buckingham?
Nothing that I respect, my gracious lord.
What, dost thou scorn me for my gentle counsel, and soothe the devil that I warn thee from? Oh, but remember this another day, when he shall split thy very heart with sorrow, and say, poor Margaret was a prophetess. Live each of you the subjects to his hate, and he to yours, and all of you to God's.
Exit.
My hair doth stand on end to hear her curses.
And so doth mine. I muse why she's at liberty.
I cannot blame her. By God's holy mother, she hath had too much wrong, and I repent my part thereof that I have done to her.
I never did her any, to my knowledge.
Yet you have all advantage of her wrong. I was too hot to do somebody good, that is too cold in thinking of it now. Marry, as for Clarence, he is well repaid. He is franked up to fatting for his pains. God pardon them that are the cause thereof.
A virtuous and a Christian-like conclusion, to pray for them that hath done scathe to us.
So do I ever, being well advised.
Aside.
For had I cursed now, I had cursed myself.
Enter Catesby.
Madam, his majesty doth call for you, and for your grace, and you, my noble lords.
Catesby, I come. Lords, will you go with me?
We wait upon your grace.
Exeunt all but Gloucester.
I do the wrong, and first begin to brawl. The secret mischiefs that I set abroach, I lay unto the grievous charge of others. Clarence, whom I indeed have cast in darkness, I do beweep to many simple gulls, namely to Stanley, Hastings, Buckingham, and tell them 'tis the Queen and her allies that stir the King against the Duke my brother. Now they believe it, and withal wet me to be revenged on Rivers, Vaughan, Grey. But then I sigh, and with a piece of scripture tell them that God bids us do good for evil. And thus I clothe my naked villainy with odd old ends stolen forth of holy writ, and seem a saint when most I play the devil. But soft, here come my executioners.
Enter two murderers.
How now, my hardy, stout, resolved mates? Are you now going to dispatch this thing?
We are, my lord, and come to have the warrant, that we may be admitted where he is.
Well thought upon. I have it here about me.
Gives the warrant.
When you have done, repair to Crosby Place. But, sirs, be sudden in the execution. Withal, obdurate, do not hear him plead. For Clarence is well spoken, and perhaps may move your hearts to pity, if you mark him.
Tut, tut, my lord. We will not stand to prate. Talkers are no good doers. Be assured, we go to use our hands and not our tongues.
Your eyes drop millstones when fools' eyes fall tears. I like you, lads. About your business straight. Go, go, dispatch.
We will, my noble lord.
Exeunt. Scene 4. London. A room in the tower. Enter Clarence and Brackenbury.
Why looks your grace so heavily today?
Oh, I have passed a miserable night, so full of fearful dreams, of ugly sights, that as I am a Christian faithful man, I would not spend another such a night, though 'twere to buy a world of happy days, so full of dismal terror was the time.
What was your dream, my lord? I pray you tell me.
Methought that I had broken from the tower, and was embarked to cross to Burgundy, and in my company my brother Gloucester, who from my cabin tempted me to walk upon the hatches. Thence we looked toward England, and sighted up 1,000 heavy times during the wars of York and Lancaster that had befallen us. As we paced along upon the giddy footing of the hatches, methought that Gloucester stumbled, and in falling struck me that thought to stay him overboard into the tumbling billows of the main. O Lord, methought what pain it was to drown, what dreadful noise of waters in my ears, what sights of ugly death within my eyes. Methought I saw 1,000 fearful wrecks, 1,000 men that fishes gnawed upon, wedges of gold, great anchors, heaps of pearl, inestimable stones, unvalued jewels, all scattered in the bottom of the sea. Some lay in dead men's skulls, and in the holes where eyes did once inhabit, there were crept, as 'twere in scorn of eyes, reflecting gems that wooed the slimy bottom of the deep, and mocked the dead bones that lay scattered by.
Had you such leisure in the time of death to gaze upon these secrets of the deep?
Methought I had, and often did I strive to yield the ghost, but still the envious flood stopped in my soul, and would not let it forth to find the empty vast and wandering air, but smothered it within my panting bulk, who almost burst to belch it in the sea.
Awaked you not in this sore agony?
No, no, my dream was lengthened after life. Oh, then began the tempest to my soul. I passed, methought, the melancholy flood with that grim ferryman which poets write of, unto the kingdom of perpetual night. The first that there did greet my stranger soul was my great father-in-law, renowned Warwick, who spake aloud, "What scourge for perjury can this dark monarchy afford false Clarence?" And so he vanished. Then came wandering by a shadow like an angel, with bright hair dabbled in blood, and he shrieked out aloud, "Clarence is come, false, fleeting, perjured Clarence, that stabbed me in the field by Tewkesbury! Seize on him, furies, take him to your torments!" With that, methought, a legion of foul fiends environed me, and howled in mine ears such hideous cries, that with the very noise I trembling waked, and for a season after could not believe but that I was in hell, such terrible impression made my dream.
No marvel, lord, though it affrighted you. I am afraid, methinks, to hear you tell it.
Ah, Brackenbury, I have done these things that now give evidence against my soul for Edward's sake, and see how he requites me. Oh, God, if my deep prayers cannot appease thee, but thou wilt be avenged on my misdeeds, yet execute thy wrath in me alone. Oh, spare my guiltless wife and my poor children. Keeper, I prithee sit by me a while. My soul is heavy, and I fain would sleep.
I will, my lord. God give your grace good rest.
Clarence reposes himself on a chair.
Sorrow breaks seasons and reposing hours, makes the night morning and the noontide night. Princes have but their titles for their glories, an outward honour for an inward toil, and for unfelt imaginations they often feel a world of restless cares, so that between their titles and low name there's nothing differs but the outward fame.
Enter the two murderers.
Ho! Who's here?
What wouldst thou, fellow, and how camest thou hither?
I would speak with Clarence, and I came hither on my legs.
What, so brief?
'Tis better, sir, than to be tedious. Let him see our commission and talk no more.
A paper is delivered to Brackenbury, who reads it.
I am, in this, commanded to deliver the noble Duke of Clarence to your hands. I will not reason what is meant hereby, because I will be guiltless of the meaning. There lies the Duke asleep, and there the keys. I'll to the king, and signify to him that thus I have resigned to you my charge.
You may, sir. 'Tis a point of wisdom. If Fare you well.
Exit Brackenbury.
What? Shall we stab him as he sleeps?
No. He'll say 'twas done cowardly when he wakes.
When he wakes? Why, fool, he shall never wake until the great judgment day.
Why, then he'll say we stabbed him sleeping.
The urging of that word judgment hath bred a kind of remorse in me.
What, art thou afraid?
Not to kill him, having a warrant for it, but to be damned for killing him, from the which no warrant can defend me.
I thought thou hadst been resolute.
So I am, to let him live.
I'll back to the Duke of Gloucester, and tell him so.
Nay, I pray thee, stay a little. I hope my holy humour will change. It was one to hold me but while one tells 20.
How dost thou feel thyself now?
Faith, some certain dregs of conscience are yet within me.
Remember our reward when the deed's done.
Zounds, he dies. I had forgot the reward.
Where's thy conscience now?
Oh, in the Duke of Gloucester's purse.
So when he opens his purse, to give us our reward, thy conscience flies out?
'Tis no matter. Let it go. There's few or none will entertain it.
What if it come to thee again?
I'll not meddle with it. It makes a man coward. A man cannot steal, but it accuses him. A man cannot swear, but it checks him. A man cannot lie with his neighbour's wife, but it detects him. 'Tis a blushing, shamefaced spirit that mutinies in a man's bosom. It fills a man full of obstacles. It made me once restore a purse of gold that by chance I found. It beggars any man that keeps it. It is turned out of towns and cities for a dangerous thing, and every man that means to live well endeavours to trust to himself and live without it.
Zounds! 'Tis even now at my elbow, persuading me not to kill the Duke.
Take the devil in thy mind, and believe him not. He would insinuate with thee but to make thee sigh.
I am strong-framed. He cannot prevail with me.
Spoke like a tall man that respects thy reputation. Come, shall we fall to work?
Take him on the costard with the hilts of thy sword, and then throw him in the Malmsey butt in the next room.
Oh, excellent device, and make a sup of him.
Soft, he wakes.
Strike!
No, we'll reason with him.
Oh, where art thou, keeper? Give me a cup of wine.
You shall have wine enough, my lord, anon.
In God's name, what art thou?
A man, as you are.
But not as I am, royal.
Nor you as we are, loyal.
Thy voice is thunder, but thy looks are humble.
My voice is now the king's, my looks mine own.
How darkly and how deadly dost thou speak? Your eyes do menace me. Why look you pale? Who sent you hither? Wherefore do you come?
To
murder me.
Aye.
You scarcely have the hearts to tell me so, and therefore cannot have the hearts to do it. Wherein, my friends, have I offended you?
Offended us, you have not, but the king.
I shall be reconciled to him again.
Never, my lord. Therefore prepare to die.
Are you drawn forth among a world of men to slay the innocent? What is my offence? Where is the evidence that doth accuse me? What lawful quest have given their verdict up unto the frowning judge? Or who pronounced the bitter sentence of poor Clarence's death? Before I be convict by course of law, to threaten me with death is most unlawful. I charge you, as you hope to have redemption by Christ's dear blood shed for our grievous sins, that you depart and lay no hands on me. The deed you undertake is damnable.
What we will do, we do upon command.
And he that has commanded is our king.
Erroneous vassals! The great King of Kings hath in the table of his law commanded that thou shalt do no murder. Will you then spurn at his edict and fulfil a man's? Take heed, for he holds vengeance in his hand to hurl upon their heads that break his law.
And that same vengeance does he hurl on thee, for false forswearing, and for murder too. Thou didst receive the sacramental fight and quarrel of the house of Lancaster.
And, like a traitor to the name of God, didst break that vow, and with thy treacherous blade unrippest the bowels of thy sovereign son.
Whom thou wast sworn to cherish and defend.
How canst thou urge God's dreadful law to us, when thou hast broke it on such a dear degree?
Alas, for whose sake did I that ill deed? For Edward, for my brother, for his sake. He sends you not to murder me for this, for in that sin he is as deep as I. If God will be avenged for the deed, oh, know you yet he doth it publicly. Take not the quarrel from his powerful arm. He needs no indirect or lawless course to cut off those that have offended him.
Who made thee, then, a bloody minister? When gallant springing brave Plantagenet, that princely novice, was struck dead by thee?
My brother's love, the devil, and my rage.
Thy brother's love, our duty, and thy faults, provoke us hither now to slaughter thee.
If you do love my brother, hate not me. I am his brother, and I love him well. If you are hired for mead, go back again, and I will send you to my brother Gloucester, who shall reward you better for my life than Edward will for tidings of my death.
You are deceived. Your brother Gloucester hates you.
Oh, no. He loves me, and he holds me dear. Go you to him from me.
Aye, so we will.
Tell him when that our princely father York blessed his three sons with his victorious arm and charged us from his soul to love each other. He little thought of this divided friendship. Bid Gloucester think of this, and he will weep.
Aye, millstones, as he'd lessoned us to weep.
Oh, do not slander him, for he is kind.
Right, as snow in harvest. Come, you deceive yourself. 'Tis he that sends us to destroy you here.
It cannot be, for he bewept my fortune, and hugged me in his arms, and swore with sobs that he would labour my delivery.
Why, so he doth, when he delivers you, from this earth's thraldom to the joys of heaven.
Make peace with God, for you must die, my lord.
Have you that holy feeling in your souls to counsel me to make my peace with God, and are you yet to your own soul so blind that you will war with God by murdering me? Oh, sirs, consider, they that set you on to do this deed will hate you for the deed.
What shall we do?
Relent and save your souls.
Relent? 'Tis cowardly and womanish.
Not to relent is beastly, savage, devilish. Which of you, if you were a prince's son, being pent from liberty as I am now, if two such murderers as yourselves came to you, would not entreat for life? My friend, I spy some pity in thy looks. Oh, if thine eye be not a flatterer, come thou on my side and entreat for me, as you would beg were you in my distress. A begging prince, what beggar pities not?
Look behind you, my lord.
Stabs him.
Take that, and that! If all this will not do, I'll drown you in the Malmsey butt within.
Exit with the body.
A bloody deed, and desperately dispatched. How fain, like Pilate, would I wash my hands of this most grievous murder.
Re-enter first murderer.
How now? What meanest thou helpest me not? By heavens, the Duke shall know how slack you have been.
I would he knew that I had saved his brother. Take thou the fee, and tell him what I say. For I repent me that the Duke is slain.
Exit.
So do not I. Go, coward, as thou art. Well, I'll go hide the body in some hole, till that the Duke give order for his burial. And when I have my mead, I will away, for this will out. And then I must not stay.
Exit. End of Act One.
With Robinhood, not only can you trade individual stocks and ETFs, you can also seamlessly buy and sell crypto at low costs. Trade all in one place. Get started now on Robinhood. Trading crypto involves significant risk. Crypto trading is offered through an account with Robinhood Crypto LLC. Robinhood Crypto is licensed to engage in virtual currency business activity by the New York State Department of Financial Services. Crypto held through Robinhood Crypto is not FDIC insured or SIPC protected. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Securities trading is offered through an account with Robinhood Financial LLC, member SIPC, a registered broker dealer.